Und Mittelstädt mit ein bisschen Platz auf der linken Seite. Dennis, Mio, Enzo Mio. Jetzt auf Tirasi im Strafraum und er trifft Tor 1:0! Und es steht endlich 1:0 für unseren VfB Stuttgart in der 55. Spielminute. Mio durch die Beine von Emre Can. Maximilian stellt auf Silas im Strafraum. Legt ihn vorbei an die Gruppe. Es steht 2:0 durch Tor von unserem Silas, der eben eingewechselt worden ist. Wie geil ist das denn?
Dennis Undav. Undav. Here is Fagnerman. Fagnerman, Furyk with a tap-in. And Stuttgart land the first blow in this massive game at the Bundesliga summit. Chris Furyk with the opener. It's a lead they more than deserve. Made by Joshua Fagnerman. And Chris Furyk has Stuttgart in front by 1-0.
Welcome to episode 103 of VfB Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English-language VfB Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, usually unprepared. We are your hosts. I am Travis. You can reach me at Hazelfish. He is Matt. You can reach him at Cellracer. He has been gone for a number of weeks. Matt, we haven't talked to you forever, ever since Michigan won the big game against Ohio State. You've been gone, but the big question I have for you is you weren't here for the cabbage kits. I mean, did you like the kit that we wore against Bremen? And what is your favorite leaf stock vegetable? Brussels sprouts, cabbage, celery, lettuce, rhubarb, spinach? What do you got?
I know some people would give the cabbage kits a score of 24. I would give them a score of 30. On the players, I think off the players, there are 24. With all the buildup, I was super excited. I thought it was going to be this flashy black and gold thing. And then the announcement I thought was underwhelming, but they look pretty good on the players going out there. And Ted said a couple weeks ago that we were playing with cabbage flage, and I have not stopped snickering about that ever since. So if we can have cabbage flage powers, I'm all about it.
The power of cabbage is, I wonder if they can sponsor our next episode. We'll see.
There's gotta be a cabbage farmers lobby out there, right? Who's got 50 cents to drop on us.
Oh, man. Reach out to us, Cabbage Lobby. Reach out to us. All right, let's go to part one. We got some shout-outs. Valpe Bingo. Sean Dundee was there. They got 11 out of 25. Sean responded to one of our tweets. So that was kind of cool. We're becoming, I don't know, somewhat noticeable, at least if we direct message people. Pod prediction, Jeff and I went 5-4. Matt, you went 3-6, but you're still in third place. I'm sorry. Austin's got 69 wins. Jeff has leapfrogged you with 64. You've got 61. Former Val Beers, Gil played twice, Matt, twice since last episode. 120 minutes in a loss and 40 minutes in a draw. Juan Pereira played 8 minutes in a loss to Schalke. Omer played 60 minutes in a loss to a team I cannot pronounce in Turkey. Mo played 61 minutes in a loss. Luca played 90 minutes in a loss. Matt, that's a lot of losing. Any condolences you want to throw out to any of our guys on loan right now?
I'm kind of bummed out that they're all losing, but none really surprised me a whole lot, I guess. I keep hoping Luca Pfeiffer is going to turn it around. I think it might be getting late early for that guy, but you would hope in 90 minutes against Heidenheim, he'd find a way to do something.
I watched that match for some reason, and he had a great opportunity that, of course, poor Luca went off the crossbar there. But yeah, here's hoping for him. So OFC Fantasy, DeFrauschaft won, but it's neck and neck with Lukestad and Village Footy, only separated by 13 points and 1-2. OFC Tippspiel, Doug, our sporting director, won his first weekly championship. Stefan, Kai Guy, and I am Rob Holloway, though, are in the top three, only separated by about 5 to 8 points. OFC watch parties, we had a couple last week. We had one this week. Congrats to the group out in Colorado. Lamel Velo on Twitter had his first one out there, and Doug in Youngstown and Pete in Omaha are going to have theirs for the Bayern match. So that's going to make 3 or 4 in a row. And speaking of matches, Matt, we had two matches. Who was your OFC man of the match. You could pick the Pokal match against Dortmund. You can pick the Bayern match or the Bayern match on Sunday versus Leverkusen. Yo, a lot to choose from because we got really two nice results out of that. So who is your man of the match?
I'm going to let recency bias own me here, and I'm going to go with the Bayer Leverkusen match and pick Joshua Wagnermann. Dude was all over the place, and that goal, the Furich goal, the pass that Undav made over to space for Wagnermann, I didn't think Wagnermann was going to get there, and then all of a sudden he downshifts and just blows by the Leverkusen defender, feints like he's going to rip one to bite the keeper, and makes a glorious touch pass over to Furich that, I mean, you or I could have scored that goal.
It was a 97% probability of making that. As soon as they put that up, I thought of the person that you and I love so much. We're like, I wonder what Martin Harnik's doing right now.
He's putting that one over the bar.
Yeah, his hustle, Josh's on that one was amazing. It was actually, but the OFC voted for Maxi Mittelstadt for both of those matches. He got 55% for the first one, the Pokal. Then he got 43%. He actually tied. Silas tied with him for the Dortmund match. And then Chris Furich tied with him for the Bayern match. And Daxo got – the nice thing is eight different guys got votes for the Pokal match, and then about seven guys got votes for the other one. So a lot of just great play there. So speaking of that great play, man, let's just dive in. Let's go. Part two. Let's talk about the matches. I know, I need a better transition than that. All right, part two of the matches. All right, so we're going to kind of lump these together because Matt and I were talking off the air that it's kind of hard to remember all the success that is happening to this club in such a short period of time. So, Matt, let me get your opinion on this. Ted and I were both pretty optimistic going into the Dortmund match. They're a bit of a strange team this year, and we both thought we were going to get wins, and I think you were on the same page based on your predictions. The Leverkusen match, though, I thought we were going to get a loss up until the last minute. I changed my prediction at the last minute, and I was riding the hype train there. I think you were a little pessimistic going into that match, which makes 100% sense. So give us your feelings going into the Pokal match during the week and then the Sunday Topspiel against Bayern. How were you feeling?
I felt pretty good going into the Dortmund match. They've been so erratic all season, and it kind of felt like they were just ripe for the picking with, as I can't believe I'm saying this, as steady and consistent as Stuttgart have been, that a chaos team, which Dortmund is turning into this year, that can't seem to bring the same A game every week. They're ready for us to punish them. And if Kobel doesn't play out of his mind, that's a 30-0 game. He's so impressive to watch, and I feel bad for him because it doesn't feel like he's getting a lot of help. I bet he's kind of kicking himself right now that he didn't say at Stuttgart. But I felt the most confident going into that one. And the Leverkusen game, they're just an unstoppable juggernaut. And everything I've seen about them all season is that they're a just ball of knives rolling down the field, taking out all comers. And I figured we'd, you know, put up a good fight, but ultimately would succumb to a superior team. And I was so delighted to watch us completely eat their lunch for the first half of that game.
I think they kept saying that they've gone 20 some matches without a loss or something bizarre like that. I don't even want to look it up because it sounds so impressive. I'm going to go with what Hona said prior to the Bayern match. He said, quote, "The respect is there, but the joy is greater than the respect. We've got a really good team coming up, but we're basically looking forward to the challenge like this," end quote. And I was of that same mindset. And I think a lot of us were, is after the Bremen match, we're like, okay, we got the win, we got to win. Now we've got Dortmund, we've got Bayer, we've got Munchen. This is going to be actually fun. Instead of the dread matches in the past, you're like, all right, I'm just going to watch the other end of the table matches this weekend because I know exactly how ours is going to go. I think a lot of us were like Sebastian and just looking forward to the joy of playing against these teams to see where we stack up. And we stack up above Dortmund 100%. we stack up eye to eye, at least with Bayer Leverkusen. That was just, like he said, that was joy. That was fun. I was excited to watch those matches. And the results just, like you said, solidified that.
Yeah, and you could tell that the players came in confident, which once the match started and I saw the swagger, I was like, oh, we might have something here. And like I was watching on several hour delay. I knew what the end result was. I'm like, this is going to be fun. And then they just they came out and they just joyous is a great term for it, just how they played. And Leverkusen came into this match 21 unbeaten. And the guys didn't care. And it's great. We were talking early in the season when we played Leipzig. It was like, well, this will be our first real big test against one of the big clubs. And we got trash canned. So they stuffed us in a locker and took our lunch money. And then against Dortmund, we played eye to eye with them. And that for stretches of that game looked like the significantly better team. I think if their keeper, you know, we were talking about Kobo, but Kredecky, man, holy smokes. He was Inspector Gadget back there making some saves that he had no business making. And, you know, hats off to him for it. But this was a match that tells me our defense has matured, our midfield has matured, the team is playing better as a cohesive unit. We've got good plans on how to deal with things. We make good adjustments. And I feel like we can beat anybody right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting tired of the theme that we're hearing during some of these matches, like, oh, so-and-so is not playing well. Dortmund's not playing well. Leverkusen didn't play well. It's difficult for me to digest. I get it. But we're really good. The reason you're not playing well isn't because you didn't show up. It's because we showed up.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I'm starting to see with this. And even though the lineup comes out for both these matches, they were exactly the same. So Silas was benched, but Stiller was back from his minor injury. Joshua Wagnermann started in both those matches. And we had a double dose of Undav and Seyru again. I'm curious about your thoughts because I'm going to sound so stupid on this. I'm not sure how I feel about the double Dennis and Seyru thing. I texted you and Ted during the match. I was like, I think Dennis needs to sit so Seyru can just run up top by himself. And I know that sounds ridiculous because we've got the best German striker in the country on our team right now, but I'm not sure how they're working together at this point. So when the lineup came out, was there any question marks for you? And what do you think? I mean, exactly on a scale of 1 to 10, how stupid am I right now?
28.
Fair enough.
I get your rationale. You know, it makes sense. Strassi was playing by himself and having a tremendous amount of success without a strike partner. I feel like Undav has been playing so good lately that it's hard to keep him off the pitch. And if the two of them can figure out, and I felt like as the game went on, they got better about it. And then they started to get worn down and then we had substitutions and, you know, chaos ensued. But as the first half progressed, they seem to be getting a feel for each other, and it's going to take live game, you know, live fire action before they do that. But Dundee was saying during the game, like he always preferred to play with a strike partner because it opens up the options you have. They can draw some attention away. You can take turns playing as more of a deep lying playmaker versus a forward pushing guy. You're not the only one up there fighting the fight. You've got a friend with you, and I get that. And I think if we can find a way for those two to develop a partnership and trade off being the attack point of the spear kind of guy versus the deeper lying playmaker, they can both have a ton of success.
And this is just how stupid I am, is in the three games that they've played together, they have dominated for five of the six halves. We have two wins and one draw. And so I'm griping just because as a Schwabian, I like to gripe about something. And so I guess the success here.
It's tempting when Girassi was alone up front. He had scored buckets of goals. He was leading the league in goals scored, making Harry Kane look like a, you know, Sunday afternoon beer league player. And now he's not doing that. But we also have to remember he went out with an injury for a little bit. He had international duty. Like there's a lot of stuff going on here around just what's happening on Mercedes-Benz Strasse, and it's going to take a little bit of time. And I think if these two can get locked in together, it will be an unstoppable attacking force.
It was pretty wild to watch. And I like what you said, the unstoppable attacking force, because one of the talking points I have for this two-match run was domination. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but it was just – it was domination for three halves. Two halves against Dortmund, one half against Bayer. Outside of a 20-minute crossbar hit, Dortmund had almost nothing to offer in that entire match. They tried to soak up pressure and then counter. It didn't work. Maxi Mittelstadt said – that the plan against Leverkusen was, quote, many teams let Leverkusen come and are pushed in the back. We wanted to put them under pressure and go all out from the start, end quote. It's exactly what you said. Enzo looked amazing. Maxi looked amazing. If not for the goalkeepers for both Leverkusen and Dortmund, we're still scoring in those. The thing that I liked is looking at the FOTMOB momentum graph, which you brought up a number of episodes ago. For three of those four halves, it is all red. It is all Stuttgart in the momentum thing. It's crazy. Like I said, I'm kind of getting tired of people saying, listen, these other clubs are playing lousy, and as opposed to we're playing so well. It didn't look like Dortmund could compete against us. It didn't. And I watched them play against Leipzig the next match, and they played really well, even though they were down a man. So I don't know if it's so much them as much as it was us. And then against Bayer, we had 18 shots in the first half. So I'm using the word domination here to describe at least three of the four halves here. How does that word settle with you?
I like it. I think it makes perfect sense. And it's, you see with the Leverkusen game, I think we were, I haven't watched all of their matches. I have a life outside of this, sort of.
What?
But it looked to me like nobody has come at them start a game. Nobody, you know, went right at them. And like the Mike Tyson quote, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. We went and punched them in the mouth. And you could tell that they didn't know how to respond. Now, Xabi Alonso's a phenomenal coach. He got his team back together at halftime. They made some adjustments. And they got one on us, and, you know, hey, tip of the hat. But we brought it to them in a way that they couldn't handle. And we did the same thing to Dortmund. We didn't go into that match thinking, oh, well, they're Dortmund. They're going to be Dortmund. We went, no, we're Stuttgart, and we're going to make them respond to us. And it's like, you know, we have a lot more American football because we're Americans. If you watch a team with a really, really good defense, it doesn't matter how good the other team's offense is. You're going to make that offense look less good. Right. So you might have a five-star quarterback throwing to the best player in college football, but if a opposing team comes in with a better defense, they might shut you down 30 to 24, let's say. And that will probably be my last reference to that game today.
Hey, to bring this back to Michigan, Ohio State, like you always tend to do.
I had to get one.
Yes.
I'll leave it be. No, but the point stands, right? Like, Ohio State has a phenomenal offense, one of the best in all of college football. Michigan's defense is the best in the country and came and made Ohio State's offense look sluggish and disjointed. Stuttgart's doing that to other teams. So I think saying that other teams are always having bad games against us is an unfair thing to do. And the people that are doing it can go eat sauerkraut or something. I don't care. I'm not here for it.
Well, I think that's the thing I find very interesting is that, and I was going to say this for later, is our defense. What I love about our defense is it was rock solid. So after that goal that Bayer scored, we were on our heels. It was a game of two halves, which is a cliche, but this was a classic game of two halves. We dominated the first half. They dominated the second half. The XG, the one that I saw, it was basically three apiece. You can't get much more even, you know, than that. But what I love was not just the hustle of the guys. What I love, not just Anton's bloody melon as he was, you know, running all over the place. What Sebastian said, he was, quote, proud of the first half in a different way of the second half, end quote. I 100% agree with this because we went on the offense in the first half, and the defense we were defending with just hustle, grit, and with our particular style of pressing. And what I really like is how when we turn the ball over in the offensive third, we press like crazy to get that ball back. And then when they get it over into our half, we kind of slide back into almost a four or five at the back. And we play a lot more defense. But when we are turning the ball over, we are going at them as quickly as we can. And it's almost like a Baumgart type system where these guys are running like crazy. Chris Furch was super upset when he got pulled in the Pokal match at the 70th minute. But I'm like, I sort of get it, even though I was not super keen on some of the subs against Bayer, where I think I texted you where I was like, oh boy, I don't know if I'm ready to see Sterigu at this point of a match like this magnitude. But if these guys are running and pressing this much, you got to pull these guys out. So, I mean, you know more about defense than I do, but what I love about the defense is it's offensive defense. It's aggressive defense. It's not like the defense we were used to seeing with Bruno or Korkut, where we just kind of sit back and absorb. This is defense taking it to you.
Yeah, I feel like our defense is playing judo, really. They're turning the other team's attacks into counterattacks. And it's really nice to see, because we had, under Bruno, it's like we were trying to make a stone wall and just stop everything that came in. And now under Honus, we're trying to take their attack and steer it differently and then turn it right back upfield and punish them for being over aggressive coming forward. And if they're not over aggressive coming forward, they don't have the numbers to do anything to beat us. So it's a, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And we're punishing teams like Dortmund that are disjointed and a little bit lacking in quality and cohesion right now, because they can't respond to that. Now, Leverkusen, they were able to respond, and their goal came on an opportunity where we were trying to turn out on them, and they took it from us and they pulled our own trick on us. And, you know, well, that sucks, but it kind of is what it is. It's just, it's nice to see Anton's playing so, so well, and Daxo's really coming into his own and has been healthy and is playing super well. And it doesn't seem to matter who we put in the corners. They're playing spectacular. Not to take anything away from Mittelstadt, he's been outstanding. But if we had Ito there, I feel like the result would be the same, because the guys know what the system is. They know what's expected of them, and they're executing at a high level right now.
I love that you brought up Ito, because when Endo left, and then Dino, and then Borna, and then when Ito was injured, the immediate response is, oh, the sky is falling. Everything's going to fall apart. And why not? Because those are key players. I haven't thought about Hiroki in a week. It's crazy, because Mittelstadt has just stepped in and played so well. You're so apropos to bring it up, because if he's in the match, he brings such a different level to it. But the depth of this team is so bizarre, because we're losing stars, in some cases going overseas, in the case of Ito getting injured. But we've got guys who can either step in and play as well, or make you think, oh, I forgot about Hiroki Ito, who's one of our best players.
Well, remember at the beginning of the season too, when our biggest concern was, what happens if somebody gets hurt? We have no depth. And just this team is surprising us in delightful ways. And guys are stepping up, playing well above what we thought they were capable of going into the season. And shame on us, but also, hell, man, good for them.
The other thing that's kind of good for them is, let's talk about some of the guys. Give a little bit of love. So we've talked about Mittelstadt. We've talked about Saber. We've talked about some of these guys. Is there anybody that kind of – the thing that stood out to me was Josh Evagmon's play that you mentioned earlier. His outright hustle on that play where he just kind of Usain bolted past that dude. And he's a big guy. Any praise you want to throw out to kind of any of the unsung guys the last few – matches? Because I'm a Daxo fanboy. I've completely done a 180 on that guy. Valdi Anton is still my favorite, you know, player for everything that he brings to the team. But is there anybody that we haven't given a lot of love to, you want to throw some praise out to?
The guy who we haven't given enough love to has got to be Enzo Mio, because he's very quietly doing a lot to enable the offense. My internal guy I'm not giving enough credit to is Maxi Mittelstadt, and just he came to us, and the book on him was, he's born a so-so light, and he's been so much more than that. But overall, as a fan base, I feel like we're not giving Enzo enough credit. He's quietly doing all of the little things, all of the important things, really, really well. And there's a lot of plays where we're making dangerous attacks on goal where he's the first pass in a three or four pass chain that really makes things happen. And he's breaking defenses open. He's creating matchup problems for teams. And just like ever since he got his haircut and improved his dynamic wind resistance, it's been lights out for that guy.
I still think it's Angelo Stiller or Ada Carrizore. I think those guys are just so important to what we do. But your take on Enzo is so accurate, that his passing and the fact that he can play more of a classic number six, but he can also be more of a number 10. So he can play more defensive if we need him to be, but he can also play more aggressive offensive. The thing that made me really excited was, did you see the way that he celebrated the goals against Dortmund? One, he had the assist. One, he had the pre-assist, as they call it, the hockey assist. He was just, he was in front of the curve before the player who scored the goal was in front of the curve. And that's what you, that was just so cool to see. What, just what a key player, you know, he is. The thing though, that does have some people concerned is opportunities and some of those missed opportunities. So the Dortmund match, the Bayern match, there were a lot of chances to put the game away against Dortmund. And there were some chances to get up early, as Sean Dundee said, against Bayern, but we weren't able to. And Mittelstadt said this. He said, quote, "This has been a bigger issue for us in the last few weeks. We do a lot of things right up to the goal. Then sometimes we don't have that last bit of luck in the finish. We didn't have that today either." End quote. He's talking about the Bayern match. Are you concerned about this at all? Because anybody who's been following this club since at least Pellegrino's time, this has been kind of a common theme, you know, for a little bit of time.
And we have to be a little bit concerned. That's been the book on Stuttgart for the past 3 years, is a lot of noise, no fireworks. So yeah, I'm concerned, but also Undav has been finishing and Gerassi has been finishing. And if it weren't for some incredible saves by Kobel and Hradecki in those last games, the scorelines are completely different. And this isn't a Stuttgart team that's putting balls wildly wide of the net or right into the keeper's hands. There was one save, Hradecki, I'm pretty sure, had to put his hip out of joint to get his foot in the right spot to make the save. And Gerassi missed one in the Dortmund game that was he put it in the only spot that it could have possibly gone in and was 6 inches wide. Like, that's going to happen when you're creating the chances we are, when you play the way that we play, you're going to have some of those. Right. If we were back in the old days of putting balls 30 feet over the net and 20 feet to either side, I would be much more concerned than I am right now.
We're almost a victim of our own success because Seyru, I believe, started the season 8 for 8 on every shot that he took. So see that he's human, I think, to some of us, we're like, oh my gosh, he didn't convert that. Yeah, it is kind of silly. But the problem is, like you said, is that under Pellegrino, we had chances, but they didn't convert those chances, which led to a lot of our issues here. But we're griping about 2 wins and a draw in the last 3 matches. I mean,
how the times have changed.
I know, it's exactly. So let's get into that a little bit. So the final thoughts in reality, we were 0 wins, 5 draws, and 7 losses against Leverkusen our last 14 seasons. So let's just put that in perspective, that for the first half of this match, we were dominating them. And yeah, we had to play rock star defense in the second half, but we were eye to eye with the table leaders in the Bundesliga right now. And we got a point. I think most of us would have been happy with that. It's funny, I was talking with you and Ted, is, you know, I was happy with that until about 10, 15 minutes left. I'm like, let's go for it, you loser. What are you doing? It's just amazing how the perspective changes a little bit, but we're still in third place. So let's look at the rest of the table. Bayern was destroyed by Frankfurt. Leipzig beat up on Dortmund. And it really was a fun match to watch. And Hoffenheim beat up on Bochum. So those are your top six, Matt. And we're still there in third place. I mean, final thoughts on the 2 matches in that week and the week around the Bundesliga, the week that was.
So I said before the match that I would be willing to take a Stuttgart sacrifice game to give Leverkusen a bigger leg up on Bayern Munich, because we just need somebody who's not Munich to win the Meisterschale. I think that the 1-1 draw was the optimal situation for the league with Bayern losing. It gave Leverkusen a 4-point cushion. It puts us only 1 point behind Bayern. So we can go and beat Bayern this weekend, take second, give Leverkusen even more cushion, and the universe will be happy.
We are all in this together. And by all of us, I mean all of us but Bayern, I suppose.
Anybody but Bayern.
Yeah. My final thought is, what a great week it was. We got the win we had to get against Bremen. We broke out the cabbage kits, so those are big wins. We got a nice Pokal win, so we're moving on in that tournament, which we all really enjoy. And we drew against the best team in Germany right now. I mean, what's not to love about what's happening? Matt, why don't we ruin it all by moving on to news, headlines, and questions? What do you say?
It wouldn't be a Stuttgart podcast if we didn't find a way to ruin our own joy.
Womp womp. Here we go. Part three, news, headlines, questions. We'll start with news and headlines. So, Matt, I'll throw these two rumors out at you. Seiru and Man United have apparently been in talks about a winter transfer. Nothing confirmed. It's a rumor. And Anton and Bayer Leverkusen. And, you know, Anton said, I'm very happy to be at Stuttgart and feel the trust. As long as my family and I are happy, it'll be difficult for me to leave, which is great to hear. Want to comment on either of those rumors?
We need to get people working on what kind of things Anton's wife and children like and make sure that those are aplenty. Bribe their teachers so the kids get good grades. I don't care what it takes. We got to keep this guy around. I think both of those guys would be silly to leave, and for very different reasons, though. So Seiru to Man United. United is a dumpster fire right now. Oh. And I work with a guy who's from Manchester. And when he found out that there was an American in the office who actually knew football and liked to talk it, I'm his new best friend. So Mike and I are talking football the other day, and he's had it up to his eyeballs with the Glazers and the ownership chaos. And it doesn't matter what the team seems to do on the field, what their manager's doing, what the players are doing. The ownership mess is so toxic that everything about Manchester United right now is a disaster. So I would hate to see Seiru leave the warm, calming waters of Stuttgart for the disaster that is Manchester United. For Anton on the other side, like, he would be a piece at Leverkusen versus he's the dude at Stuttgart. Mm-hmm. And these are two highly successful teams right now. And is it better to be a cog in the wheel of a Leverkusen team and maybe that last little piece that gets them over the edge? Or is it better to be the dude that resurrected VfB Stuttgart from the ashes of German football? Like, come on, Anton, play to your legacy.
I think I would almost be hurt more by Baldi leaving than Seiru, just because we all know Seiru is not long for the featuring. Anton, though, seems like a guy who identifies with what this club needs to be. That would be a tough one for me. But if the team keeps winning like this, they're going to get attention from other clubs.
That's my biggest worry right now, is that we'll find the winter break to be really stressful. And I'm hoping that the brass at the team see the potential this club has, what this group of players has, and goes, you know, if we can keep these guys together, we've got a shot at winning the league. We just took the first place team to a draw, and there's no reason we couldn't have beat them. And if we can continue what we're doing, like, a top five finish is not only out of the question. I think it's likely at this point.
I think this club's end results will be almost determined by the first week of February, because by the first week of February, we'll know who's on the roster and we'll know who is going to stay on the roster until May. So I think those dreams and those hopes and those aspirations can really settle in by then. But I 100% agree with you. I think January is going to be the worst month of the year more than the usual reason why it's worst month of the year, just because the weather stinks and all that stuff. It's going to be pretty rough. At the end of January, let's move on to the next thing. We've got the Pokal. So it turns out that Stuttgart is going to play Bayer Leverkusen again in the Pokal, which is a bit of a bummer because between Stuttgart and Leverkusen, those are the two best clubs left. I guess you can include Gladbach in this. But the other Pokal story, well, some people. the other Pokal story is that Valpe gave all of their 75,000 euro from the spectator fee to TSG Balingen, who we played in the first round and beat 4-0. So just a really nice regional trade-off to give them all that money, because for them, that's a huge amount of money. So which of those do you want to comment on? We got Bayer coming up, or the fact that we, I mean, for a Stuttgart club to give away any money at all, that's kind of a big deal.
I think for the neutral fan, getting a rematch of Stuttgart, Leverkusen, so hot on the heels of this, frankly, really exciting, fun match to watch is a dream. And probably the league is thanking the lucky ping pong balls that they bounced that way and are really excited about this. I would have liked to have had anybody else, but ultimately this is probably better for the Pokal as well, because you'll get either Stuttgart or Leverkusen into the next round, and the other teams will be somebody who's not at the top of the first division table. And that's part of the fun and magic of the Pokal. So it's probably good for the league and for the universe and everything, but I would like to have not had to play Leverkusen again right away.
Yeah, there's two things that I have to comment on this, is that last year we had the easiest route to the Final Four of any club ever. Mm-hmm. This year we've got the hardest route to the Final Four of any club. The second thing is, at least we don't have Saarbrücken, right? I mean, at least we don't have to take them on, because they took down Bayern, they took down Frankfurt. So Gladbach is playing them. So good luck to those guys. The next big headline is the national team. So we got a number of players here that are looking to make noise. So Dennis is in contact with Nagelsmann about joining the national team in the spring. Chris Furich was pretty angry when he got subbed off at the Pokal because Nagelsmann was in the stadium watching the match. Anton has been rumored to be associated with the national team. Nagelsmann said, quote, maybe we need more workers. Perhaps the solution would be to, quote, forego 2 percentage points of talent and add 2 percentage points more workers, which I think has actually been written in my teaching evaluation over the years over there. So, and then Sebastian went on to say just how awesome Anton is. I didn't know this. Anton was a captain when he was 22 years old in the 2018-19 season. I mean, it didn't work out so well, as he mentioned. He was a little too young to do that. But there's a number of players. There was a website, 11 Freund, which is a German website. Thank you to Vertical Paths for sending this on. They wrote this glowing article about the Stuttgart-Bayer match and about how half of the Stuttgart players could be playing for the national team when all is said and done. From Dennis to Angelo to Anton. Just how all these guys are playing great. So throwing a lot at you here, but a lot of those guys, Dennis, Chris, Anton, Siller, the national team, I mean, is this just simply what winning does for you?
I think that's a big part of it. And Stuttgart's in the spotlight a lot right now. It's a great story. People love an underdog story. At least we do in the US. They're going to get a lot of attention because they're on a winning team right now. Mm-hmm. I think also the fact that then, the Mannschaft has been a mess for going on 4 or 5 years now. Something has to change there. And if Nagelsmann's just looking at what is your FIFA ranking, and that determines whether or not you're on the team from a talent perspective, and not how is your team doing? What is your, what's your level of play right now? How are you playing? Then they're not going to get any better. And if you're going to take a guy who can handle a ball a little bit better than a guy who gets results because he works harder on the field, you're going to lose. So I think not taking Anton is a mistake. And I think not giving guys, what is the harm in giving guys like Dennis Undav a chance during friendlies? cap some of these guys, get them a few matches in the national kit, see how they do, and maybe go, oh, we've been missing out because this guy's not been playing for Bayern Munich, and we refuse to go outside of Bavaria to look for the national team players.
It's funny because for the first time in the last ever, like within the last year, I kind of understand where a lot of non-Bayern fans are, where they're just like, the reason they don't root too significantly for the national team, because they're like, it's Bayern Munich 2.0.
Yeah.
And like, there's got to be another option out there. And I 100% agree. It's like, sometimes there's something to be said for a guy whose work rate is incredible, like an Anton, versus somebody who, and I don't know anybody from Bayern who can just put in the work rate at that level. And I don't know if Anton can play at the national level. I don't know. But what's the damage in giving it a try? Because they're just a dumpster fire right now. I don't know if they'd qualify if they weren't hosting. So give some of these guys a shot and see what happens. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if you would take half of the Stuttgart team. I think that would be pretty impressive, because then half of our team would be on transfers, you know, somewhere else. So I don't know if I want that to happen.
I mean, right now I would. They're playing better than, arguably better than any other team in the league. So why not give these guys a shot and see what they can do?
The other thing that the league is looking to give a shot is an investor. So Matt, this is going to be tough for you and I to dive into, but let's just throw it out there because it was the big news that broke today. And thanks to Derek Ray for throwing a lot of this out there. So the German league, the DFL, voted to clear the way for an investor. So 24 of the 36 teams who could vote, so first and second division, voted yes. 10 voted no, 2 abstained. Stuttgart voted yes. So this is going to be around a $1 billion investment for about 8% stake in the league. The deal in May was $2 billion for about 13%. Some of the equity companies involved in this are CVC, EQ2, Advent, Blackstone, which all sound like evil James Bond. I think I go to CVC for my my medication, actually. Or is that Walgreens or CVS? I can't tell which. The money,
all the above.
Yeah, to be used for digitalization and internationalization. Those of it, the people in favor of it, said this is to ensure the league's competitiveness internationally. And so they said the following. This could provide a streaming access to the fans. So suck it, ESPN, I guess you're out. An international fan shop, which I cannot wait for my stuff to
show. Yes, please.
4 or 5 weeks out. More overseas trips. Some money given to the clubs to make up for the 8% loss over the next few years because of what they actually had. The investor cannot dictate overseas games, playoffs, match dates, or any of that stuff. Those opposed to listen, they're just against the idea of an investor. It's more money. They don't like the financials of the deal. Frankfurt came out and said that. And the fan scene seems to be 100% opposed to this. So again, thanks to Derek Ray for this. Stuttgart sent out a tweet that they had voted yes for this and received 180 responses, Matt. How many of those do you think were positive?
5.
Oh, well, I stopped scrolling. I didn't find 5 of them. So this is really difficult because as American supporters, I think a lot of what they're trying to do makes sense to us. Trying to brand the league on a more international level. But I understand where German supporters, Stuttgart supporters are against this because it's, at the end of the day, it's your club at a local level. I don't feel comfortable commenting on this in any way, shape, or form because I simply don't understand the ramifications of this, which is why I'm going to ask you, hey, what's your opinion?
Well, I have read everything about this and fully understand all the implications. I think the thing that I worry about is part of what makes the Bundesliga special is the 50+1 rule and the localization and the intensity and passion of the local fan groups. So if they can find a way to bring in outside investment to allow them to enhance things like the digital product and streaming and access to international fans without compromising what makes the Bundesliga special, then I say go, go, go. And it sounds like from what Derek Ray had posted on Twitter, and huge shout out to him for regularly breaking this stuff down for us fools. It sounds like the league relinquished very, very little to get this very sizable investment. So if that's the case, then this is good. If they've given up any control over the end product or the way that the matches are held or the league is set up, then I feel a lot less good about this. But as a foreign supporter, more access to the teams in the league that I love so much is a win for me.
Yeah, I think the difficulty for us is that from an American perspective, this makes sense. You're trying to get the league more exposure. So we're probably more supportive of this particular idea, especially what you said is if you're not giving, you cannot give up the 50 plus one. It's just, you can't do that. That's what makes the Bundesliga special. The supporters, like you said, is what makes the Bundesliga special. If you're not giving up those aspects of it, I would tend to say, okay, let's give this a shot. Let's give this a go and see where this goes. Because I do think you and I have sat in meetings with people in Stuttgart about how can we make this club more viable for people in the United States. And to Pete in Omaha and Doug in Youngstown and in Colorado, we're all in Josh in Texas and Jens, we're all trying to do our part to make this club more viable and more accessible to people here. It's not easy. It's super, super difficult. So if anything that can make that a little bit easier to get people to watch and take part in this league that we love so much, this club that we love so much, I'm all in. But you said it perfectly. It's without losing what makes this club and this league so special. And obviously that's the balancing act there. So we'll see what comes of it over the next few days and weeks and all that stuff. I know there'll probably be a ton of fan protests this weekend. I'm sure if you're watching the Stuttgart match at Bayern, you'll see some stuff about it. But I want one final shout out to some news and headlines is we got the first player ever responded to one of our tweets. So we sent something out there about how Daxo Zagadou had leapfrogged a particular player from Bremen. And we've gotten likes before. Hitzelsberger has liked some of our stuff. Klaus Vogt has liked some of our stuff. BFB International, like you said, has done a great job of getting back out there and has been more and more on retweeting our stuff and liking our stuff. But we got Daxo Zagadou to not just like, but respond to our stuff with a couple smiley face emojis when we kind of gave him some love for his leapfrog over the Bremen player. So, I mean, is this it, Matt? Are we big time now? Could we just call it quits?
I'm not sure you and I will ever be big time. maybe the Americana account is starting to get there. But if I were you, I would print that tweet with the reply out on fancy glossy paper. And I would order a frame from the Stuttgart fan shop. And in 9 months when it shows up, I would frame that and hang it proudly on your Dell wall.
I'll put it next to our OFC certificate that says certificate in German.
you can put them right next to the advent calendar that'll probably show up in July.
No, this chocolate was good 6 months ago. I don't know about now. All right, we got some questions now. So ShoomyFan75, he asked, do you think we will stick with Sadro and Dennis up front? What do you think?
I think they'll give it a shot for a little while, and if it starts to pay off, then we win. And if not, I have no doubt that Honus will pull the ripcord and make changes. He's shown no fear to do that so far in his tenure.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, I'm just stupid. I think this is the way to go. These are two really good players who can put the ball in the back of the net, and the only guy who says you shouldn't play them is some guy in Cleveland. So, yeah, I think we're going to keep those guys out there. Here's I am Rob Holloway asks, well, we had a lot of opportunities to score that didn't pan out. Our defense made Dortmund look regular. Zagadou had a great game, in my opinion. It was good to see Silas in that one. The remaining teams, we have a serious chance of winning the Pokal if we can stay healthy. I think Rob sent this before the Leverkusen result came out. you know, what do you think? What would you put our odds at? Let me put it this way. If between us and Leverkusen, whoever wins that match, it's got to be the favorite to win the Pokal, right?
Oh, absolutely. I don't see how the betting odds would be on anybody but those teams. And I think given the results that we had in Leverkusen, like, you got to feel good about where we're at. The only team that I might be scared of is Saarbrücken, because they seem to be a team of destiny right now. But, you know, I believe in our guys, and I think if we can beat Leverkusen, who are as good, almost as good as we are, I think we can take the whole thing.
Stewie Van Ass again. Just wanted to remind everyone that I'm leaving for Stuttgart this week, and I'll be at the home game against Augsburg, bringing 3 points with me. Plenty of photos will be online. Let's go. I mean, come on. Stewie, this is awesome. I'm going to try and have an impromptu watch party. It's going to be tough because that Augsburg match is a Wednesday at 2:30, but I got a couple buddies who are going to try to meet up with me and watch that one, so I'm excited about that. Mick Chaos says, last week I was calling for Valdi to the national team. This time it's Maxi. What a game he had against Dortmund. Assist and a pre-assist. He was just cooking. And then he sent another question in. Mittelstadt again. He played left center back very solidly, took Frimpong out of the game, and got involved in the attack as well. Also, hear me out on the national team. Stuttgart is having a run that could be a huge gift for Nagelsmann. He could ride this wave into the Euros and benefit from many in the form of Stuttgart players in this tournament. And like I said, 11 Freund, what is the website? And go check them out. They had this glowing article that raved about the match that we're talking about and claimed that half the Stuttgart roster could be on there. Let's rephrase the question. A player you think should be there for sure.
I think Anton should absolutely be there. The Germany defense has been a complete shambles, and Anton's arguably the best defender in the Bundesliga right now. So not including him seems foolish.
We said a couple episodes ago, over under at 2.5, and it seems silly, right? But now you're like, okay, Dennis Undav is going to have the opportunity to be on that team. I 100% believe in that. I agree with you. Is Anton should be on that team. Their defense is poor. It's just porous. I don't think our midfield, I just don't think Angelo Stiller has a chance to upset the apple cart that is there. Chris
Fuhrer, as good as Stiller is, the German national team is deepest at the midfield. So he's got a lot of work to break in. Furch kind of sneaks in because there's not a lot of good attacking midfielders.
What do you think about this idea of Mittelstadt? I don't know. At this point, over under 2.5. The over is looking, boy, pretty good.
Let me put it to you like this. Who is the current German left back?
Oh, yikes. Is it still
exactly? So what do we got? What harm do we have in giving Mittelstadt a chance?
Yeah.
How crazy. Put him out there. What's the worst that happens? He gets blown up? Okay. The guys who have been playing out there have been getting blown up. Yeah. Like, what are we missing?
It's nuts. So this, oh, Teddy Val B. So he was on the episode last couple of weeks. He says, one thing I was struck by was a buyer's depth compared to ours. We're all worried about losing players in the winter transfer. Do we see any possibility that we are buyers in the winter transfer to consolidate our table position and keep the Pokal running going? I love this question. No, I think there's no chance we buy anything. I think we're going to do everything we can to possibly hold on to what we have. What do you think?
I think if we had an extra $75,000 from somewhere, we would absolutely be buyers. Giving it away to that club was a mistake. Yeah. No, take a second, but you got there.
Well done.
I would like us to be buyers just because it would be fun to be in that mindset for a little while. But I think you're right. The financial situation we're in, we're going to be flexing everything we can to keep the guys we have in place and then hopefully finish really, really strong and be in a place in the off season to bring some more guys in to reinforce our roster. But we don't have to worry about any European games. We've got the Pokal and the league, and that's it. And that's a good spot for this team to be in. And with our surprising depth, I am no longer afraid of us playing European football next season if we can keep this team together,
right,
and add a couple of complementary pieces.
That's the key. If we can keep these guys together through winter transfer window, I think some good things can happen. All right, let's do some rapid fire questions from Balham. Old friend Balham sends us a ton of questions. So, Matt, just one or two words, answer these questions. So, how good for the league was the Bayern loss to Frankfurt?
Best thing that could have happened.
It was like Christmas in, well, December. If Stuttgart won the league, 77 points would be the biggest underdog story compared to Leicester City. Agree or disagree?
100%. 100%.
Would not winning the Pokal be disappointing to you?
I'd be bummed, but not super bummed. It's been a really fun run we didn't expect.
Yeah, for me, it depends on the Leverkusen match. That kind of changes everything. Do you think Stuttgart could finish top five? Everyone on the podcast didn't expect these good results from Stuttgart. Yeah, Balham, in our defense, we don't know what we're talking about. Matt, go ahead.
With the caveat that I don't know what I'm talking about, I think Stuttgart could finish top one.
Ooh, how much have you been drinking tonight? Let's go. Are you worried about Stuttgart pulling a Union Berlin next year if they qualify to Europe?
No, if we can keep the roster together.
Yeah, I think that's a big caveat. I agree with you. Do you think Alonso sent a cat to watch Stuttgart train for their own tactics?
I heard that Alonso was employing this guy, Connor Stallions, who may be known to college football fans.
Oh, God. Two Michigan references. One episode. It's the thing I find interesting about German football, it's like they don't seem to hide much. They're like, okay, this is the way we play, it's the way you play. All right, let's just play. Yeah. There's not a lot of subterfuge there. Can Leverkusen win the Bundesliga?
Absolutely, they're fantastic.
I agree too. Thoughts on the Columbus Crew winning the MLS, whatever they just won?
I didn't know teams in Columbus won football games.
Ohio is officially a state. I'm sorry. You voted against it. It's true. Can Stuttgart win the next few matches before the winter break? Can they draw at least to Bayern? This is a great segue, Matt. Let's get into the next match against this upstart club from, what is it called? München?
Munchies? The Munchies team?
So we are going to Bayern Munich. They just got the doors blown off them in probably the shocking result of the weekend against Frankfurt. We are the top spiel of Sunday. So we play at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Derek Ray is calling the match, so I'm feeling really good about this already. Matt, you want to guess our record against them in our last 25 matches?
I do not. The only game I want to think about against Bayern was a couple years ago when we blew them out 5-0 at home to ruin their party when they were raising the big salad plate.
I'm glad you remember that one because that's the only one we've won in the last 25. I remember that. Oh, man, Adonis, which was a fantastic jersey name, by the way. I should have gotten that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got one win and two draws over that time, so not so great, but one of those draws was one of Sabres' first matches. We had a 90-plus minute penalty kick that he put away that looked just amazing. So, all right, so we're going into this one. Obviously, when you travel to Bayern, you're not expecting to get much of a result out of this. But this is a weird year and a weird time for our club. We're in third. They have a game in hand because that Union Berlin match eventually has to be made up. What are your thoughts going into this one? Do you have the usual dread that we have? Are you optimistic?
I don't. I am cautiously optimistic. I think it's an opportunity to really take Bayern down a peg, and I think our boys are up for it. The one concern I have is that whenever Bayern drops a big game like this, they have a tendency to come back the next week and be angry Bayern and play like the world beaters, Champions League contenders that they are every year. I don't know that this team has that killer instinct this year. I got a feeling that they might take that loss and go, well, we're going to win the next one. It'll be fine. And if we go at them like we went at Leverkusen, we've got a really, really good chance to take some points.
I'm going to eat these words. I don't think Tuchel is that great of a coach. I think he's a really good coach, but I don't think there's something not right with Bayern right now and with him. And it's not just them losing to Frankfurt or losing to Saarbrücken. There's something off right now. And maybe we can take advantage of that. I'm actually happy we're playing at their place. I think they play under a lot of pressure at home. Because most teams, I think, play well. I used to have this theory that Stuttgart played better on the road than at home because I thought the home support was so difficult. Rudiger actually said that. Put something out there about how it's so great that his club is playing so well and that when he played for Stuttgart, the fans had nothing to cheer for because they weren't giving them anything. And I think I was watching the Cologne match this weekend when they played Mainz and the fans were whistling and they were just upset at the way that Cologne was playing. And you can't say that about the Stuttgart supporters, at least over the last 5 years, I think. They've always been on board with it. I think playing in Bayern is a bit of a pressure cooker. I think they're under a bit of a pressure cooker right now because of the results. I think we can take advantage of this just because the mentality of this team is different than the mentality of a Stuttgart team over the last few years. I won't be surprised if we get beat in this one, but I'm going into this optimistic. So let's take this back to what Honus said earlier about the joy of this. How awesome is it to go into a match like this and have joy no matter what the result is? You're going to have fun.
That's the difference is the Bayern players are looking at this going, oh man, we have to, after that game, we've got to win. And all of a sudden Stuttgart's looking like a really good team and this might be a tough one. And our guys are going, yay, we get to play soccer. This is going to be fun. And like, that's a totally different approach to the game. And I'd rather be on our side than on theirs. And I think you make a really good point about the pressure cooker that is the Allianz Arena. And that is just being on that team and wearing for some reason a T-Mobile kit. But I like our chances. I like this team. These guys, nothing gets them down. They're playing well for each other. They're having fun. And just, we keep saying the word joy over and over again, but that's what it is. And I am having a lot of joy watching these guys.
What do you think the odds are in this one? And what do you think the result's going to be?
I think the bettors are probably giving Bayern half a goal to induce betting. I think we win this 2-1.
Oh, you're pretty close. It's Bayern minus a goal. So Bayern is the favorite by a solid goal in this one. I'm with you. I'm on the hype train. I'm riding the Honus train. We're going to really Honus's uncle's house, right? This is his uncle runs this place. Yeah, so why not? We're playing with house money at this point. So yeah, it's Stuttgart plus a goal in this one. I like our chances. I'm curious how many times they're going to say it's the Harry Kane versus Seiru Guirassy battle in this one. I mean, what do you think? It's going to be over under 7,000?
Yeah, I was going to say at least 72.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But we're really the match I'm worried about is the Augsburg match, you know, the next week. That's the big one. So we'll see what happens.
That's got classic come down written all over it.
Right, that's the one.
Full points against Leverkusen. If we then go and beat Bayern to keep the team focused in that next game against a down and out Augsburg team is going to be a trick for Honus.
All right, Matt, this is it. Any last words, thoughts as we wrap up episode 103?
Ohio State hasn't beaten Michigan in over 1,400 days. That's it. Last one. I'm sorry.
Folks. He almost made it. He almost made it, but he tried to do
after it. After 2 weeks of no voice and Lego competitions, it's been an absolute blast to be back with you. Thank you, Travis.
No, it's been great to have you back, Matt. Appreciate the insight, especially your hatred of Ohio at all times, at any time. All right, everybody. Hopefully we can talk to you guys next week after another big Stuttgart win. Matt, hey, man, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Travis.